Congregation, we're turning over to the book of Hebrews this morning, and that's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. We're going to be reading chapter 11, and then our text is actually in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. But we'll begin reading it, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They have been thinking of that land from which they had gone out. They would have had opportunity to return. But they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep, goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. And now our text, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And we end our reading there. We trust the Lord will bless the reading, God's precious, holy, infallible word to our hearts. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have now come to the first Lord's Day of 2021. And it is a time of looking ahead. We focus on the future, on the new year that is before us, on what God has planned for us in His providence. And the future is full of new possibilities, new opportunities of service, of witness, of doing that which the Lord has called us to do, that ultimately we live for Him and not just ourselves. As believers in Christ, we need to put ourselves in a place where we thrive in our faith rather than to languish and struggle needlessly. And so as we look forward to this new year, ask the Lord to enable you to mature in your faith, to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures and of Christ Himself. Remember, if we're not growing, we become stagnant. There's no reaching a plateau in the Christian faith. We always need to be striving to be moving forward. Moving forward. And everyone desires to be successful, to flourish, or to thrive, whether at a job, in the community, in our responsibilities, in the things that we do in everyday life. It should be that we desire Christ first and foremost. Because when we have Christ, when we know Him, when we cling to Him, we rest in Him and His Word and His promises. And we sang today, standing on the promises of God. We know that ultimately, things will work out just the way they need to. Remember, we're not just looking for worldly success, and we certainly desire to be successful. But what is success? It's not just by having lots of stuff that this world provides. It's who we are in Christ, a covenant God who loves us with an everlasting love, who's bound Himself to you, walks with you, gives you His Spirit, and enables you to walk with Him. May we all be able to say then, more love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Grant me a love for the Savior, even more so in this new year, that I might embrace Him and be filled with Him, knowing that our God is always with us. Because when you endeavor to live a life of faith, the Lord grants you the means of grace to enable you to walk with Him by prayer and His Word, His Spirit, to do all for His honor and for His glory. Now here in Hebrews, as we have read chapter 11 and now into chapter 12, what does the author tell us here at verse 1 of chapter 12? He says, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we just read about them in chapter 11, let us also then lay aside every weight, sin which clings so closely. And what are we to do? Run with endurance the race that is set before us. And how are we able to run this race of faith? Looking unto Jesus. Always, always looking unto Jesus. The one who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. You have one who has authored your faith, perfects it, brings it to a conclusion, ultimately when we're with our Savior in glory. A God who is always with us. May we then run with patience, indeed, the race that is set before us. That the goal of our lives is to thrive in our faith, not just languish, not just people who are frustrated. You know, this world, there's all kinds of things that can cause anxiety and frustration. But rather, when it comes to our walk with God, it wouldn't be just frustration. Rather, it would be, I'm thriving in faith because my Savior is with me. May that be the case. And so, the title of my message then this morning is Thriving in the New Year. And the first point then, consider how others thrived. Consider how others thrived. Second, look to move forward in faith. Look to move forward in your faith. And then third, look to Jesus to help you, because He is indeed there to grant that aid, that help in time of need. And so let us begin here first. Consider how others thrived. He begins this verse, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, looking back, we have a great cloud of witnesses. In fact, we're surrounded by these witnesses. They speak to us. They speak to you even today. Remember, when you read about these ones who lived in the past, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, these are not just fictional stories concerning those who have lived maybe thousands of years ago, that someone just decided to write about some people and then put them down on a scroll, and now we have it today in a book. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. These were people who lived. In fact, we just spent the last year going through the book of Genesis, going through the lives of each one of these people, especially the patriarchs leading up to them. And we focused on how they thrived in the faith. How were they able to thrive? Because God was with them. God was the one who called them to Himself. Remember, Abraham, I'm sure he would have been just happy and satisfied to remain there in Ur of the Chaldees, to worship his idols. He was an idol worshiper. And he would have just lived his life like every other pagan at that time. What made the difference in the life of Abraham? Remember, he was called of God, called out of that place, and given promises. God came to him and entered into a covenant relationship with him. And Abraham looked to this God, and he came to him by faith, and that faith was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed what God had said. And as you go through this list of people here in Hebrews 11, what made the difference? They just simply took God at His word. They believed the Lord when He came and He revealed Himself to them. And they looked to Him. And what makes the difference in your life, even today, even now? Remember, it is the Lord who's called you to faith. A covenant God who has come and revealed Himself to you and said, I chose you. In fact, I knew you even before the foundation of the world. And now I call you to Myself. I reveal Myself to you. I reveal My words to you. Believe. 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 Believe Me. Above the circumstances that you experience in life. They had circumstances. They had trials. They had problems. These weren't just super saints. I think sometimes we look at the names there listed in Hebrews 11. And while these were unusual people, come on, super saints. Of course they believed God and walked with God. They were people who, you know, the Lord did very unique and special things through. But I guarantee you, if you went back in time and you talked to those people, they would just say, hey, we're just ordinary people just like you. Ordinary people just like you. It's just that God came to us. He showed Himself to us. We believed Him. We believed Him. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. What are they witnessing to? They're witnessing to God. That He's a God of faithfulness. A God who grants the gift of faith to those who come to Him. In fact, back in Hebrews 10, verse 38-39, the author of Hebrews says, My righteous one shall live by faith. Those who are righteous live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. And so here the Lord comes with justifying faith. Remember, He is the one who saves us by grace through faith. And once we believe, you know, this is justifying faith. We're righteous. We're made righteous by faith because we rest in the finished work of a righteous one, Jesus Christ. But we're not to shrink back. We're not to say, okay, well, that's nice. Jesus has come to save me from sin. Jesus, my insurance policy, ticket in the pocket. Now I can go back to my sinful lifestyle. I mean, could we imagine Abraham saying, well, that's nice. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself and your covenant and your promises. And yes, you're going to give me the land of Canaan, and that land is going to go to my descendants. But you know what? I enjoyed Ur of the Chaldees. I'm just going to go back there. To worship my idols again. If that was the case, we wouldn't be reading about him in the Bible. Well, maybe it would be just a couple of chapters of a man who unfortunately gave up on the promises, gave up on God to his own perdition. We don't shrink back. We have a witness to those who seized God and His word and His promises and desire to go forward with the Savior, go forward with their God. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now, look at all these ones who went forward, faith, and preserved their souls. We're the same. We do the same. Our confidence, our conviction is also in the God who has revealed Himself to us as well as to them. The summary of Hebrews here is a list of men and women, this cloud of witnesses, examples cited to you and to me to encourage you. Keep going. Look what God does for those who trust in Him. He brings them from the beginning of their life to the end, and even future is glorious when we'll be with our Savior for time and eternity. They were able to thrive. They were able to thrive despite the struggles, despite the challenges, despite the difficulties. They thrived. And in each instance, as you look at these examples, You see those elements of faith. God spoke to them through His Word. Their inner selves were stirred in different ways. They obeyed God. He bore witness about them and their faith. He blessed them and granted them exactly what they need when they needed it so that they could go forward with their God. In a new year that's ahead, seek Him. He's already revealed Himself to you. He's already showed Himself faithful to you. He's already given you grace, faith, justifying faith. Build on it. The foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. Build on that foundation and thrive. Thrive just as those who have thrived in the past. The testimony that we have here. And as we look at this cloud of witnesses, then second here, we're to look to move forward then in our faith. What does the author go on to say here in our verse 1? Let us then also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so notice the wording here. Let us also then lay aside every weight. The testimony of these men and women in the past is they were able to lay aside the weights of the world. The sin of the world that clings so closely. They're able to cast it off and go forward with God. And so the author is encouraging us and the Hebrews at this time to do the same thing. Have the same attitude as these men and women have had in the past. I mean, when you think about it here, what does it say about those who have been able to overcome? He says, verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time fails me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, you know, and these were well-known people who through faith, what were they able to do? Conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put to foreign armies to flight, women receiving their dead back by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. You know, the suffering and so on. They were able to lay aside the weights of the world. And look what they were able to do. They went forward in their faith. And so when it speaks here of laying aside every weight, a weight is not necessarily a bad or evil thing simply in itself. But it's something that has taken our attention away from God. It diverts our attention, saps our strength, or dampens our enthusiasm even for the things of God. We all have stuff in this world that we enjoy, that we participate in. I mean, I played hockey for years. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Because of my knees, I'm not able to keep playing now. That's okay. Sometimes you just have to move on. But nevertheless, my life is not about hockey. I enjoyed it. It was a great pastime, good exercise, loved being out on the ice, skating, and so on. But nevertheless, I don't live for it. I don't live for it. I live for Christ. I live for God. If I started to live for hockey, then it becomes a weight, diverting my attention away from really what truly matters. I don't go out there preaching hockey and how everyone needs to wear hockey gear and get a hockey stick and, hey, you need to get on the ice. And it would be great, wouldn't it? I'd love to play hockey with these guys, actually. But it would be great fun. But I'm not here preaching hockey. I mean, it was exciting that Canada won yesterday. Good for them. I hope they win gold. Go Canada. But I don't come here preaching hockey. Because if I did, it becomes a weight, diverting the attention away from what truly matters, eternal matters, which is ultimately Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so in order for us to look to move, to go forward in faith, we must deal with hindrances, throw off everything that hinders, lay aside that which hinders. It as if clothes are taken off and cast aside. They're weighing us down. Something that gets in the way, blocks progress. It must be removed. Wilbur Chapman said this, "The rule of my life is this, anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes the Christian word difficult, it is wrong for me. And as a Christian, I must turn from it." Anything that dims my vision takes away the taste for the Scriptures, takes away from prayer. If we allow the world to overwhelm us, or we embrace the world more than Christ, obviously then it impacts us and takes us to a place where we don't want to go. Remember last week, we focused on Hebrews chapter 2. And what does that text say? Remember, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest what happens? We drift away from it. We drift away from it. It's very easy to allow this world to crowd in, and so we drift away from Christ and His truth. In fact, I came across one story that highlights this very well. There was a fellow who bought a brand new twin-engine Piper Seneca airplane, just flying 30 minutes from one place to another. But he hadn't slept at night. But nevertheless, he wanted to go on this trip. And so he was just excited, new plane. He just said, "I'm going to go." And so he got in, took off from the airport, started flying. It did have an automatic autopilot, so he just set it on an autopilot, and he fell asleep. 30-minute trip. Several hours later, I guess something went wrong, and he was well off course. In fact, he ended up in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, surrounded by water, and the plane running out of fuel. And so there he is, wondering, where am I? Surrounded by water, the engine sputtered, and then it crashed in the Gulf. It crashed. The plane sank in 45 seconds. This fellow, who could not swim, barely survived. In fact, what saved him were two discount store cushions he clutched under each of his arms. He happened to have these cushions. And so he's floating there with the cushions. Thankfully, they found him alive, embarrassed, minus his airplane, I guess cost at the time $70,000, but still holding those two cheap cushions under his arms. He fell asleep at the wheel and flew off course. How easy it is for us as well to think that everything is going great, no problems, and nevertheless, drifting away from God, drifting off course, causing ourselves pain needlessly, as he did, crashing his plane. We do not want to crash as Christians, allowing sin in our hearts and our lives. Those consequences of sin can be quite severe, depending on how far into sin we go. Sin has an impact. I mentioned that last week as well. That's why we lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. There's a reality to sin, even as Christians. In our sanctification, we're endeavoring to die unto sin more and more and live unto righteousness. But that is a work of God's grace within us. And so we need to seek God's grace to help us to overcome besetting sin. The language here of sin that clings so closely is that which holds on tightly, causes entanglement. Nothing hinders us more than besetting sin. They're like the little foxes that spoil the vine. Again, causing our eyes to divert off Christ and upon ourselves. And unfortunately leading us to go in the way of the world, the flesh, and unfortunately the devil. That's what it does. That's what it does. Do not give in to these things. desire is to thrive in faith. And so he says, lay aside every weight, the sin which clings so closely, and let us then run with endurance the race that is set before us. We run with endurance. The writer compares the Christian life to a foot race, but it's a marathon. Remember, it's not a sprint. We don't race as hard as we can, and then all of a sudden I'm exhausted and I give up, like Abraham going back to Ur of the Chaldees. No, it's a marathon. I take my Christian life one day at a time, day by day by day. The word race used here is the word we get in our English, agonize, actually, from the Greek, agon, agonize. As with any foot race, it doesn't matter how fast you start, it's about the finish. But sometimes we agonize as we struggle and fight forward to fight to go on. In fact, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And so, in essence, we all fight the good fight of faith. We lay hold upon eternal life. We keep the faith because, remember, we are able to run this race because we're not alone in it. We're not alone in the race. We continue because, remember, there's one who's on your side, one who gives you aid, one who gives you help. But nevertheless, we patiently move forward. That's what he says here with endurance, means patience, running with patience. In fact, George Matheson wrote, we commonly associate patience with lying down, just being still. But that's not always necessarily the case. There is a patience that I believe it to be harder, he said, the patience that can run, to lie down in a time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke or that of adverse fortune implies a great strength, but I know of something that implies strength greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily tasks. It is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is hard. To do it with good courage is harder. That's true. A patience to say, no, I will serve Christ no matter what happens, no matter what travail or pain or hindrance. I'm still looking to move forward. And so as 2021 is before us, continue to look forward in your faith because it's time to run, time to run. Now, some of us may be out of shape spiritually, and we're not going to run a foot race or enter a marathon if we haven't trained for it. I might make a mile or two, but that's about it. Well, if we want to make it in this marathon, remember, every day is training. Every day we look to Jesus. That's what we do. And that leads to the third point. Look to the Savior to help you then to thrive. If we're going to run this race, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to deal with the hindrances, if we're going to deal with the sin that so closely clings to us, where do we go? Where do you go? We look to Jesus. We look to our Savior. We're looking to Him once again because He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. You do not have faith without Him. Those who are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11 do not have faith without Him. Without His call, without His impact, without His Spirit, they are not able to do anything for the Lord. The same goes for each and every one of us. We want to run this race. We want to move forward. We want to lay aside the weights, deal with the sin, while we bring it to Jesus once again. Now this morning, I'm sure you are scrambling because there's a whole lot of snow out there. And you had to shovel, or get your snowblower, or maybe you've spent some money and someone else clears it for you, and that's wonderful. But nevertheless, did you prepare yourself to come here today? Say, Lord, bless me. Bless your word to my own heart. Speak to me today. I mean, it's very easy to be scrambling in the morning, and we do it too, scrambling in the morning. But just spend a few moments and say, Lord, I need you to speak to my own heart today. Touch me today. Prepare me so that I receive of you and your word, a word in season. Help me to look to you as we look to him every day. Notwithstanding what happens, notwithstanding snowstorms, notwithstanding anything that might come along our path, because we are ultimately always looking to Jesus, always coming to him by faith, being aware that he is there, recognizing his presence by his Spirit, filling us constantly, helping us to be faithful as he is so faithful to us. He's the author, the originator of our faith. He perfects it or finishes or completes it. So in essence, he is everything in between as well in your life. He doesn't just start you off and then say, there you go. Try to make your way in the world as a child of God, and then I'll see you at the end when I'll bring you to glory. No, it's implied also he is the beginning and the end and everything in between. A full and complete Savior that ultimately we go to and rest in completely, bringing our daily sins, our daily troubles, our daily challenges, those things that hinder us, those things that cause us grief, those things that get us down, those things that depress us, life's hardships, I bring them to him, as well as the joys, the times of praise, the times of gladness, the time when I sense him and I know that he's with me. In all things, whether high or low, right? We do all things through Christ who strengthens us. As the old hymn says, and I'm not sure, it might be in here too, but I'm not sure. We'll have to maybe see about singing this sometime. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. May we always do that, because we need to do that. Because his desire is to save us. We look to this one who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Who, for the joy that was set before him. This joy, for the sake of joy, in terms of redeeming a people, in saving you. I mean, we couldn't imagine the heart of Christ filled with joy going to the cross, looking to the sufferings of the cross and what he would experience in terms of the wrath of God being poured out upon him. The joy of redeeming a people for the sake of joy went to the cross. And the joy it would bring in your life. He despised the shame because it's a place or a symbol of real shame, a symbol of death, a symbol of guilt, a guilt for crime. That's what it was. The cross was for criminals to suffer. And so he went there joyfully for us. And the death of the cross, a cursed death, he saw it as nothing. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung upon a tree. Going to the cross for you and for me. We look to him and his finished work of redemption. Shed blood. What he has accomplished when he declared it is finished. And now we are restored to our God. And there, now, sitting in a place of help, even for us, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us daily once again. How could we not look to him? How could we not? because he is there even now helping us. And then, I know my time is going. Verse 3, consider him then who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Consider Christ and what he endured, not only at the hands of his Father in terms of the wrath being poured out, but that he endured from sinners the hostility against him, so that you may not, what? Grow weary or faint-hearted. Especially in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted the point of shedding your own blood. But nevertheless, we do not grow weary or faint-hearted. Christ has opened the way for you and for me. You always have access to a throne of grace. You always have access to this one who desires to be your advocate. He has given you his Spirit, the Spirit of God coming alongside you. You have everything you need in order to thrive in your faith. Are you coming to this God and clinging to this God? Are you looking to the Savior to help you to thrive? Are you feeling spiritually weary? Are you losing heart? Are you becoming faint-hearted? Feel that you're missing out with God and his blessings? Bearing the weight of the world? Have you allowed sin to rob you of confidence and assurance? Are you like the guy in the plane that just fell asleep and just kind of floating along, only to crash down the way? Remember how others thrived, how they prevailed, how they were able to overcome. We're not looking just to them. We're looking to the God who called them, who helped them, who enabled them to be overcomers. We're looking to the same God, the same Savior. Look to this one to grant you the faith you need, the help you need, because he is still here. Nothing has changed. Remember, he is the great I Am, the ever-present one. And in him, not only do we live now, we will live in eternity. But remember how others prevailed and able to live lives of faith. Regular people whom the Lord had revealed himself to. The same God has revealed himself to you. And so consider others. Move forward, though. Move forward like they did. Because they look to Jesus. They look to God. Do the same. Look to your God. Look to Jesus to help you. Christ will bring you to the place where you can say, yes, I thrive. I thrive because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're with me today. Praise the Lord. And I have all things in you. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, you're always good. You always grant us help. Lord, you enable us to come by faith to you. Looking to you, the one who's the founder and perfecter even of our faith. We don't have faith apart from you. We're thankful that indeed you've called us even to yourself. And that as we look to Christ, we can't even begin to comprehend the joy set before him as he endured the cross for us. He took our sin and claimed it as his own, granting us his perfect righteousness. Despising even the shame of the cross, the guilt, that instrument whereby only the guilty are there to receive the rewards of sin and crime. And yet here he viewed as a criminal for us, but we're the criminals. But Lord, it's Christ who took away our shame, took away our guilt, and now we are set free at liberty in Jesus. Lord, help us to come to you with praise and thanksgiving for what you have done for us. Help us then run with patience even this race that is set before us. Grant us the endurance that we need to just run this race daily until that time we're with you. And Father, that we would see that Christ is so faithful for us. Help us, Lord, because there are times when, yes, we grow weary. We are faint-hearted. We have this struggle against sin, but thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And so, Lord, as your people, draw near to us once again. Grant us that strength. Grant us that help. Grant us that fortitude of heart and mind so that we are indeed living for Christ and knowing Him. To fight the good fight of faith. To lay hold upon eternal life because we're laying hold upon Jesus. And so continue with us now and bless us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.